morning. Welcome to Cross Life Church. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors here. As far as kind of what I trust my wife to tell the truth about how I dress. Every year as well, I buy the board game that won, Spiel des Jahres, which is a kind of board game competition, and I trust them to kind of find me new and interesting games to play. For lunch, I trust the KFC Zinger Box to satisfy my appetite as well. Today's sermon is all about trust. It's all about faith. We do trust things in this world, and that's basically what faith is. Faith is trust. And we're going to see what it means for us to trust in God and how we can see our trust in God in the everyday things that we see during the week as well. Just kind of a quick note as well. We're not going to have, normally we have Q&A after the sermon, just due to kind of all the things that we've had kind of earlier, so kids talk and kind of sharing and stuff like that. We're not going to have Q&A today. We usually allow kind of two slots for extra things this Sunday. So we've taken those two. We should be back to that next week. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to head into God's Word. So please join with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you may increase our faith. Please open our eyes to how much we need you. Please help us to see how trustworthy you are. And please help us to put our trust in you, to believe you at your word, and to grow in that belief. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 17, out of the blue, Jesus' followers say to Jesus, increase our faith. That's what they say to Jesus, increase our faith. It's a sentiment that I think that we can all relate to. I wonder whether you've had other people say to you, I wish I had your faith. And I'm wondering whether you've thought to yourself, well, you know, I wish I had the faith of someone else, actually. You know, I think there's an idea that we have, and I think it's a right idea, that more faith would make things easier in our lives. With faith, complex issues would become simple. With faith, moral struggles would just become instincts. With faith, there'd be less fear, less frustration, less suspicion in our lives. Do you feel that? Do you want God to increase your faith? It feels like kind of one of those trap questions that people ask, doesn't it? You know, it's kind of like, you know, who here wants more money? But honestly, I think all of us know that we could probably do with more faith. I hope that today we will grow just that little bit more in our faith. And the way that I hope that we grow in faith is becoming aware of this world of faith that we live in all around us. Because I reckon it's possible to see that everything that we do pretty much is based on faith of some kind or another. And I hope that kind of hopefully kind of sparks that thought in us to remember our faith in Jesus. But first we have to get the question right. What is faith? Like a lot of religious words, people use the word faith in all sorts of ways. And so it's important for us to just pin it down, kind of what faith actually exactly is. Faith for some people might just be a vague feeling of positivity. How do you know things are going to go well? Well, I just have faith. Faith might be for people believing without evidence, believing in something that is ludicrous or completely irrational. People do not trust people of faith because what they believe in is science. There are some other Christian denominations as well who define faith as just intellectual assent. And so it's this idea that kind of facts are spoken, and if I agree with those facts, that is what faith is. But the Bible's definition of faith is actually more than all of those things. Faith in the Bible means to trust or rely or depend. And the way that we can basically summarize it is that faith is confidence in something for something. We had our intro question where you had to fill in the blanks of I trust blank to blank. You know, whatever you filled in the blanks with, all of that is faith of a kind. Because you have confidence in someone or something for something else. And that means that pretty much everything that we do in our lives is an expression of faith in something. But Christian faith is confidence in a particular someone for a particular something. We see examples of this in the New Testament, the expressions of people's faith. People are called to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the someone who we believe in. The word believe in the New Testament, by the way, is the same as the Greek word for the word for faith. Our translations in English, they only use the word believe because our English language doesn't have a verb for the word faith. You can't faith something. And so they use the word believe. A Christian faith is confidence in Jesus. He is our someone. And that means that faith is a personal thing. It's a relational thing. It's more than just assenting to facts. It's more than just feeling something. It's about the way that you respond to a real person when they speak to you. It's about the way you respond to Jesus. But you have to trust in Jesus for something. You can't trust in Jesus, just trust in Jesus generally. And so all these examples in the New Testament, when people come to Jesus, they came having confidence, expecting all sorts of things from him. Some people came with faith that Jesus would heal them, or drive out demons, or they would heal others. Others came to Jesus asking for forgiveness of sins. Other people came that Jesus trusted that Jesus would justify them, declare them not guilty. In other places, it is faith in Jesus that leads to getting the Holy Spirit as well. All these expectations that people had from Jesus is an expression of faith. But these expressions and these trusts that people had, they didn't come out of nowhere. It's not like people just kind of felt that Jesus would give them this. People had these expectations. People had this faith. Because in the 4,000 years before Jesus, God had spent that time promising a kingdom of peace and goodness and life and wealth and security, right? He had promised them a kingdom in the Old Testament. And that was basically kind of he's promising everything good for his people. And he was promising them that his son would be the king of that kingdom, known as the Messiah, also known as the Christ. And so when all these people come to Jesus in the New Testament times, what they're basically saying is that Jesus would be that king who would bring that kingdom in. And so Christian faith is faith in Jesus. And it's faith in Jesus as the king of God's kingdom. It's basically saying Jesus is Lord. Well, we sang it in the song Cornerstone. He is Lord, Lord of all. That's what we're doing. We're trusting in Jesus to bring in all of God's kingdom. It's that security in knowing that Jesus has everything covered as far as goodness is concerned. And if you have that faith, then the Bible talks about all the benefits of faith and the benefits of growing in faith. Faith enables a Christian to truly please God. It enables them to live the life that God has built them to live. We see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Faith allows a Christian to stand firm in adversity during persecution, during suffering. They can handle it. It says that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Faith helps a Christian to resist the temptations of the devil. It is the shield which extinguishes the flaming arrows of the evil one. It helps the Christian to say no to sin and yes to God. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 6. And so there are all these biblical benefits of faith. But even from non-Christian sources, faith is beneficial as well. There are studies that show that people of faith are happier, they have better mental health, they're more satisfied with their lives. Now, whether in the world or whether kind of in the biblical world, in the Christian world, faith is something that you want to invest in. It's something that you want to cultivate. And I think that we can do that by becoming more aware of faith in our lives. And so here are a few situations where we can be reminded of our faith in Jesus and grow in it. And so firstly, we can be reminded of faith in those times when we cannot see. It's nice for us to imagine that we are in complete control of our lives, that we are independent individuals. But the truth is that we have to trust in all sorts of things for all sorts of circumstances. Now, from the time that you woke up this morning, you have trusted in many, many things. You've trusted in your house to keep the rain and weather out. You trust in the train or your car to take you to work or school or uni. When you're in the workplace, you're trusting that your workplace has enough money to pay you, and you are trusting that they will when payday comes. See, whenever we find ourselves in areas that are outside our expertise, well, you need other people as well. You need a plumber, you need an electrician, you need a doctor. In all those situations, you are trusting someone or something else to do what you cannot. All of that is faith, because you have confidence in someone for something. I know sometimes our faith, our trust can be misplaced. You know, you're on the train platform and the screen says that your train is coming in 5 minutes. You wait a minute, you're pretty sure it's a minute, and then the screen still says that your train is coming in 5 minutes. And then you wait a few more minutes, and then later the screen says that your train is coming in 8 minutes. You know, it's like time has gone backwards while you're waiting on that platform. Sometimes our faith is misplaced, but it doesn't change the fact that the vast majority of our lives is faith or trust of some kind. You know, you're trusting in the chair that you are sitting on to hold you up, as we saw from the kids' story. You see, faith is us recognizing that all of us have a limited field of vision. We don't know everything. We can't see everything. We can't do everything. No matter how intelligent, wise, or competent you are, there is always a line that we have beyond which we have to say, I can't explain that. I can't do that. I need someone else to help me with that. And beyond that line is our realm of faith. And whenever we have those kinds of worldly faith, it's a good opportunity for us as Christians to also remember our faith in God, to recognize that there are things that we don't know. You know, we don't know what God is like. We don't know exactly kind of the thoughts going through God's head. We don't know sometimes why God does the things that he does. We've got to recognize that there are things that we can't see right now. You know, right now we can't see heaven. We can't see the future. We can't see the spiritual beings that are operating on our lives. We've got to recognize the things that we can't do. We can't save ourselves. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't live the lives that we are meant to live. We can't give glory to God in the way that we should. So basically, we remember our limitations. We remember our field of vision. And that allows us to say, well, I don't know how all that works, but I know the guy who does. I can't do that, but I know the guy who can do it for me. And that's basically the idea that's going on in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, when it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That is what our faith in God is like. And so, take the opportunity, whenever you can, to be conscious of your limitations and to be mindful that what you are doing in that situation when you recognize your limitations is having faith in something else. And remember that you have an even bigger faith in an even bigger God, that you might not be able to know or see or do everything, but you know the guy who can. That is faith in the times that we cannot see. But there's also opportunity for us to remember our faith in the times that we can see too, when we can understand and explain and account for things, because those things that we can see are actually what our faith is based on. Like I said before, some people, they define faith as belief without evidence. Blind faith is what people call it. But I think about blind faith, and I do not think that that actually describes any example of faith in the Bible or in anyone who actually has faith. Now, I reckon for most people with faith, there is some sort of evidence that faith is based on. We read about the people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. They did the courageous things that they did, not out of the blue. They did it because they heard God's voice. They did it because they had walked with God. They had walked in obedience to him and in relationship with him, and God had never disappointed them. They did it because they came from a family with people before them who had walked with God too and had passed on the faith and the knowledge of God. One of the greatest examples of faith is in John chapter 20, Thomas. In the New Testament, people call him Doubting Thomas. He didn't have faith at the beginning. He didn't believe his friends when they said that Jesus had risen from the dead. He wanted to see it for himself. And Jesus appeared to Thomas. Jesus showed Thomas the wounds in his hands and his side. And Jesus says to Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 27, do not disbelieve, but believe. Literally, do not be faithless. Have faith. And Thomas has faith at that time. He says to Jesus, my Lord and my God, but his faith comes from his first-hand eyewitness evidence. You see, faith comes from some sort of evidence, from some sort of thing that people have seen or experienced. And even Christians nowadays who have faith in Jesus, it's never completely blind. There's always some sort of reason why people trust in Jesus. Whether it's a personal experience from God, or whether it's examining Christianity from a historical perspective, or an archaeological perspective, or a philosophical perspective, or a comparative religion perspective. Now, people of faith, they conclude that their faith is reasonable and rational. You don't need to leave your brain at the door to have faith. Faith can come from evidence. But when we have faith, what we are doing is we are using that evidence to take us from the known to the unknown. This is what we do with everyday faith as well, kind of the little faiths that we have in this world. The last 100 or so Big Macs I've eaten have tasted a certain way, like they've tasted exactly the same throughout like the kind of 40 years of my life. I trust that the next Big Mac that I eat will taste exactly the same. This plumber comes well recommended. I trust that he can do a good job on my house. This person at work has consistently done their job really well. If I give them work to do, I can expect them to get it done. Right? Faith takes us from the known to the unknown. Now, this is not scientific evidence, not really. There are people who kind of say in the world, the only thing that you can trust is science. I'm not sure that people who say that have actually thought through life that deeply. You don't do a randomized controlled trial to find out if your parents love you or if your spouse loves you. Right? But I think you can say that, look, everything we do is based on some kind of evidence. It's just that there are different kinds of evidence, whether scientific or historical or relational. All faith is based on some prior knowledge of some kind. And so in those times in our lives when we are conscious that we are using evidence, you know, maybe trying to judge whether a person is trustworthy, or maybe kind of thinking to ourselves, how do I know that this is going to happen? Now, we can think also about whatever it is that's also causing us to have faith in Jesus. Why do you trust Jesus? Why do you believe him when he speaks in his word? And whatever it is for you, stand firm on that foundation of Jesus and rely on him to take you from the known to the unknown. This is being reminded of our faith when we can see. And the other kind of time when we can be reminded of our faith as well, and when we can grow in our faith, is when our faith is tested. And our faith is tested in times of risk. Our family has been to the Treetops Adventure Park a few times in Castle Hill. That's not me, by the way. That's a picture I found on Google, but I've done that kind of thing. And it's really, really cool, all right? It's a free plug for Treetops. It's really, really great. You go up on these rope courses. You're swinging between trees. You're working on rope bridges. You're about 50 meters off the ground. So you're looking down. It's a fatal drop. Except that all the time, you're attached to the course by a safety rope. One of the things I noticed when I was on the course is that when I had that safety rope, I would do all sorts of things that I would never do if I didn't have that rope. Now, I'd be on a platform next to a tree, and I'd be leaning out over the edge of the platform to look how far the drop was. You know, I was running quickly sometimes, kind of so high above the ground along these kind of pieces of wood. I did these things because I trusted in the safety rope. And the things that I did, I reckon, would have looked crazy to people who didn't trust in the rope. It's a similar thing with our faith in God. You know, if we trust God, we will do things that look risky in the eyes of the world too. And we saw a hint of that in our Hebrews reading earlier, didn't we? You know, Noah building a huge wooden boat because Noah thought a flood would come because God told him to. You know, that's a bit crazy. Abraham leaving his homeland to go to a place that God told him where to go, but he didn't know, doing everything that God told him to do, almost all the way to killing his own son. Crazy. Moses giving up power and privilege and riches in Egypt to identify with a bunch of slaves. You know, that's crazy too. You know, faith makes people do all sorts of risky things. Now, this doesn't mean that we are reckless, though, for the sake of being reckless. All right? Christians don't do things just because they are risky. We don't take unnecessary risks. But God calls us to follow Jesus. God calls us to get on board with his plan to bring everything under Jesus as Lord. That's going to involve risk, necessarily. You know, giving financially, giving generously to God's work is going to risk your security. Speaking to people, telling them that God has a plan for the world that is bigger than their plans, is going to risk your relationships. Loving God's church, loving your neighbor, serving people who are in need is going to risk your time and your comfort because you're giving up the things that you want to do. Saying you're a Christian, coming out publicly for Jesus, will risk your reputation. You know, simply following and obeying the call of God is a risky business. But it's only risky if you don't believe there's a rope. If you believe that God will never leave you or forsake you, if you believe that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us, if you believe that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us, if you believe all that, well, it's not risky at all. You don't stand to lose very much at all in the grand scheme of things. And whatever you risk by obeying God and following Jesus, you know that the thing that you are never risking is your soul. That is safety. And so whenever in your life you are doing something that seems risky, remember that your Christian life would be risky. It would be crazy risky if you did not have a faith in God. And where it is clear in your life that God is calling you to do something and you are thinking about how risky it might be, you're thinking, oh, should I do this? Should I not? You know, I might lose this. Remember what God has done for you so far. Remember the evidence of God's faithfulness. Remember his love for you in Jesus. Remember God creating you and sustaining you. Remember his testimony in his word. And let that take you from the known into the unknown, no matter how risky it might be. We can be reminded to have faith in times of risk. And so we've seen that faith is trust in someone for something. It is confidence that someone will do what they have said they will do. And Christians are people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ to bring in the kingdom of God and all the blessings that come with it. If we want to trust Jesus more and more, we can be reminded of our faith in the times that we can't see, in the times that we don't know, in the times that we can't do something. But even in the times that we can see, the times where we do have evidence, we can be reminded that our faith in Jesus stems from some kind of evidence too, something we have seen. And our faith, as we trust in Jesus, will lead to spiritual health and spiritual blessings, but it'll also lead to worldly blessings too, as we walk in sync with the way that God wants us to live. And even though in faith we might do things that seem risky to the world, we will do them, trusting that we are safe in Christ. The theologian Bruce Milne writes that faith is fundamental to all genuine Christian experience. He's basically saying, well, faith is the starting point of the Christian life. It's the center of the Christian life. Everything else that we do, all repentance, obedience, service, all love flows from faith. And so let us ask God to increase our faith so that we may also increase in everything else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way in which you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, we each have a story of how you have come into our lives, whether through careful investigation of your word and history, whether through some sort of experience, whether through a sensation of your love. And Lord, we thank you for each of those stories. Thank you for how you've worked in us to give us that reason that we trust in you and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as your King who brings in your kingdom. Heavenly Father, please help us to continue in that faith. Help us to be reminded of it in our lives. Help us to see it in the times when we don't understand, in the times when we can't see. Let us remember that we might not know, we might not see, we might not do, but we know the person who does. In the times when we can see, Lord, we pray that we may remember the evidence that we have for our faith, the ground that we have for it. And Lord, we pray that our faith may drive us to do things that might seem risky in the eyes of the world, but are safe, knowing that you care for us and love us, and because we trust in you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.